when we talk about Irfan, the basic level of Irfan is to observe the rulings of the Sharia. If anyone wants to become an Arif or he wants to advance in this field of education or want to follow it practically, the very first thing he has to do it, he has to follow the rules and the regulations that are set in the Islam.
The late Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai trained many scholars, and such kind of training has led many scholars to, not only to the right path, but they authored very educative and instructive books.
Surely we wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it?
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio. This is the teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakh Rouhani from the University of Qom and Said Mohsen Naqvi from the Islamic House of Qom. I would like to say salam to both of these dear guests over here.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam and thank you.
You're welcome, brother. So for today's discussion, we want to continue our talk regarding the life and character of the late Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai as one of the greatest ulama, scholars, spiritual wayfarers, and teachers of akhlaq in the Hawza of Najaf. In our previous discussion, we gave some introductory remarks regarding his early background, some of his teachers and students. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start for today's discussion with the main Irfani approach that the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai followed. Where was it rooted, and what details do we have about this Irfani approach?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, as it is said by the ulama and his students, it is said that he followed his teachers in this way, the spiritual journey that Urafa, basically, they travel that journey. He followed his teachers like Ayatul Haq Mirza Hussein Quli Hamadani,
that's right,
for example. And in that journey, there are, we can say, like two ways, which is also been said by Allama Tabatabai.
That's right.
For example, Ayatollah Tahriri, who is the student of Allama Tabatabai and Ayatollah Behjat, he mentions that Allama Tabatabai was the only student, according to him, who truly followed the exact path which Ayatollah Qazi was following. And we know that Allama Tabatabai, who wrote Tafsir al-Mizan, he was the nephew of
the late Sayyid Ali Qazi
Tabatabai. And there are many stories about him. For example, Allama Tabatabai has said once he went from Iran to Iraq. He came for holidays, and when he went back, it was a midtime, and he was so tired. And he thought that he will sleep and will wake up before the Fajr prayer.
That's right.
For the nighttime prayer and for Salatul Layla. And he said, as soon as I entered my house, I heard knocking of the door. Someone was knocking the door. And when I went out, when I opened the door, I saw Ayatollah Qazi outside my door. And he said to me that if you want to reach to the higher ranks of Irfan, you must read the Salatul Layl. Don't miss it.
That's
if
right.
you sleep now, you might miss it and you just read the Fajr prayer.
Okay.
So it's better to read it now. So this shows us that the teacher in the Irfan has a full command over his students as well, their actions as well.
Yes.
Even if it is the midtime, he says that, Allama Tabatabai says that, no one has said Ayatollah Qazi that I am reaching at this time home. But he was there.
Yes.
He came there.
Yes.
So in the path of this Irfan, Allama Tabatabai says that there are basically three things.
That's right.
The very first thing is hadaf, which is known as goal.
Goal.
The first thing is goal. The second thing is the way of training.
Yes.
And that is consisted of basically two things.
Yes.
The way of training is consisted of zahir, which is apparent, and batin, which is hidden.
That's right.
And from zahir, he says, it means dhikr, reading some adhkar, tasbih, or, you know, looking after the rulings of Islam, not missing anything.
Taking care of your behavior, for
taking
example.
Taking care of ahsan.
Okay.
And from batin, he mentions some intellectual, we can say, practices.
Yes.
Fikri, pondering by thinking.
Yes.
There is something on which you need to ponder, you need to think, and later, from the results that you gain, You have to reach to another level.
That's right.
So these are the list of the...
Is ihraq also in this case?
Yes, ihraq is basically in the batin.
In the batin one.
In the batin. Ihraq means to burn.
Yes.
And this means
The term means burn.
Harq, yes. So, harq means burning. Ihraq means that you believe that, you know, in the Quran we also have that antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, that you all are needy towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
In the concept of ihraq or burning, it means that we believe that we have nothing. Everything that we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's
therefore,
right.
We burn our worldly desires.
Worldly desires, okay.
That's what ihraq means.
That's right. So deleting or burning out our worldly desires means ihraq.
In order to reach or gain the happiness of Allah
subhanahu
wa ta'ala.
But this does not mean to leave the world.
No.
Okay.
It does
or
mean,
leave the mundane, materialistic world. No,
it means
not.
That you benefit from the world to a level in which you're being the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's
you're not
right.
exceeding the limits.
And that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a very good point. So ihraq as one of the methods. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, it seems that this method of spiritual wayfaring and purification that Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai had taught his students are very much rooted, in taking care of our even minute behaviors.
Yes.
Something which is unfortunately not done by so many Muslims nowadays. You know, in the early morning, we wake up, we do our prayer and salat, okay? And we are mainly the Muslims are concerned with their obligatory acts or wajibat. But I think that Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai very much emphasized also on observing your mustahabbat, your recommended actions. Isn't it, brother?
Yes.
And it shows the importance of this part of the lives of the Muslims too.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this regard, it must be indicated that when we look at Islamic rites and rituals, okay, we may distinguish a core and a periphery. Okay, the core consists of, mandatory deeds, mandatory rituals. Okay, those deeds that are clearly and expressly stated either in the Holy Quran or in the Hadith, that everybody has to observe. For example, offering mandatory salats, or for example, fasting in the month of Ramadan, and so on.
Okay.
However, this core is usually protected by some periphery.
Okay.
And this periphery, which in Islamic terminology is called mustahabbat or recommended deeds, not mandatory or obligatory, but recommended. Okay. It was the job of those teachers of Irfan, to emphasize both on being, the students attentive, regarding mandatory core, plus, being careful about not losing any opportunity of practicing those
recommended actions,
peripheral deeds.
Which seems to be very much minute but important.
Yes,
they have huge influence on the purification of the character.
Yes, but I should like to say that. What can be distinguished in Shi'i seminaries, so far as we know, that top-ranking teachers and masters of various branches of Islamic fields of education, fields of knowledge, they've been very much attentive to the, students or a selection of the students.
Very good.
Not only they controlled them, regarding their moral practices or spiritual practices, rather, those professors and teachers, for example, checked the lecture notes or, for example, the academic activities and so on. And in this way, we can say that, a mujtahid can say or can claim that he was trained in the school of, for example, such a marja or mujtahid,
That's all right.
This cannot be seen that much in so a strict way in Western universities, because like our universities, so long as we are in our class, we are teaching in our classes, we only care for our students to listen to us. In seminaries, At least, I mean, in olden times, okay, it wasn't the case. What was the case was that, I mean, this close, supervision was done by masters over a selection of the students.
That's right. Yes. Including, for example, Ayatollah Allama Tabatabai and Ayatollah Khoui, and also Sayyid Hashim al-Haddad, who was one of the outstanding students among them. But Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, he was not also neglectful of the academic field of study and, we can say, compiling books. I've heard that he has a tafsir of the Holy Quran from the beginning to Ayah 91 of Surah Al-An'am, which was verse by verse. I mean, exegesis of the Holy Quran according to the Holy Quran, which is rarely mentioned. And Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, Allama Tabatabai, learned this method from his master, I mean, Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai, and also the explications that he wrote on Futuhat al-Makkiyah by Ibn al-Arabi and also the Masnavi of Mawlana are important. He has also one Qasida on the Qadir, Qadiriya Qasida. This shows that he was working and he was active, a very true scholar in the true sense of the word. But at the same time, spiritual wayfaring and spiritual training was not neglected by him. It's very difficult, brother, to have both sides. I mean, it makes it very difficult, isn't it?
Well, I think that it was easy at that time because they did not have the televisions, mobile phones. Yes. Okay. I don't know. You know, we got busy with these things. That's why.
Yes.
The second point is, you know, in every stage, we need to look at the circumstances, the environment around people. People at that time used to sleep after the Isha prayer.
Uh-huh.
Like they used to pray Maghrib and Isha. Right after that, they used to have dinner and then they used to sleep.
Okay.
And that might be like 9 o'clock in the night. And that's why they were able to wake up like 3 o'clock in the midnight or 4 o'clock before the Fajr prayer. I remember my grandparents, they as soon as it was 8 o'clock in the night or 8:30, they used to sleep.
Yes.
And then 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the midnight, they used to wake up.
Oh.
For the tahajjud and the prayers that they had. And they used to be awake till the Fajr time.
That's right.
It almost 3 to 4 hours.
Yes.
And also they used to do their breakfast in that time.
Oh.
You know, so this was the routine of people at that time.
Yes.
Previously. But now the media, the things that are the technology is making us unnecessarily busy. That's one of the reasons.
That's right.
The second point is when it's about the Urafa or Alim, that you said it's difficult to cope with the two different things.
Yes.
This wasn't two different things for him.
Mm-hmm.
For the mystics, for the Arif, for the Alim, it's all what he has to do.
That's all right.
You know, they used to have multi, we can say, like work, but all those works were the part of their training and was part of their life.
No.
That's what we can say. Obviously, being a teacher, it does not mean to just teach. You have your own researches as well.
That's right.
You have your own, you know, advancements in the field of knowledge, because when you're coming in front of your students, you should be aware of what's the current situation.
That's
and
right.
You need to answer them.
Okay.
On top of them, when there is a student with you, especially in the Islamic seminary, as dear guest Dr. Fakhr Rouhani has said, that in the Islamic seminary, when a student goes out of the class, the teacher is following him up, like in a way that he does not leave him on his own.
Mm-hmm.
They train them how to live outside the class as well.
That's right.
How to keep the things that they have learned, especially in the field of Irfan, how to keep himself safe from the sins, from the unwanted actions.
Something which is really missed by the academic and the academic fields nowadays on the universities. The people are really trained in specific fields of studies, but when you get to the humanitarian aspect or the spiritual type, no, as Imam Khomeini said, the knowledge and the type of the science that they are taught becomes a kind of hijab, you know, or veil in front of their eyes, stopping them from seeing the realities.
You know, in the Islamic seminary, there are three times to study.
Mm-hmm.
Three times. Number one, when you have your classes, for example, 8 to 12 in the morning.
Yes.
After that, in the evening, the students must attend a discussion groups.
Yes.
You know, we have groups of 3 to 4 people who sits
together. Circles, right? Of free discussion.
Circle of, yes, free discussion, in, yes, which firstly we discuss about the things that we have studied in the morning.
That's right.
The teacher, what he has. Secondly, we look at the next lessons.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next lesson? What's the relation between today's lesson and the tomorrow's? And we discuss.
That's all right.
That if the teacher has said this is right, wrong, or can we criticize him? Okay. There's a discussion. And in the night, there's an hour time for the self-study, mutala'a, we say.
That's
it.
Right.
So we have the dars, we have mubahisa and mutala'a.
That's right.
So this is basically something which is in the Islamic seminary. And that's why we see people, they advance quickly,
mm-hmm,
in the Islamic study when, okay, they enter.
That's all right. And still this approach and this path is continued by the students and the students of the students of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai. But the one important thing that we have to take care of, brothers and sisters all across the world who are interested in the mystical approach and the Irfani approach inside Islam and Shia Islam, is that you have to act and work inside the framework of Sharia and not out of that. Because nowadays there are some, like fast food, we have fast prescriptions of Irfani approaches. Nowadays, unfortunately, so many young people are trapped by these new mystical movements, okay? So during 1 week or 2 weeks, you can grow up spiritually, and at the end, we can see nothing happens. We have to take care. This is not an easy way to go. It is a difficult path, and the Ma'arif and the Irfan of the Ahlul Bayt was doing the obligatory and wajibat acts and then getting into the recommended acts. Do not replace them, okay? And according to the original manuscript of Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai, I have it over here right now in front of my eyes, advising that, first I read it in Persian language, اگر نماز را تحفظ کردید همه چیزتان محفوظ میماند, which means preserve your salat or prayer and your everything would be preserved. This is a kind of advice or piece of advice given to us by Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai. He's buried in Wadi al-Salam Cemetery in the city of Najaf. And so many people pay homage to his shrine over there, this outstanding mystic and RF, the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai. Thank you much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, and Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhrohani for presence in the program, the teacher, talking about the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai. It was very kind of you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. Also a YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.